it's really too late, I guess, once you see the headline. So if the market was going to react dramatically to something that happens in the headlines, by the time the individual investor reads that, essentially, the market is already down or had that correction. So that is usually not the time to sell it's not the time to let emotion sort of sway what should be hopefully long term.
Welcome to The Financial Commute, a weekly podcast that gives you the rundown on what's going on in the current market, how it affects you, and what you can do about it, all designed to fit into your commute. I'm your host, Chris Galeski, and each week I share the table with a knowledgeable guest, including Morton Wealth Advisors, fund managers, and investment analysts, to break down complex financial topics. Our goal is to provide you with the tools to help you navigate any market environment, leading to a path of more confident investing. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for another episode of The Financial Commute. I'm your host, Chris Galeski, joined by Chief Investment Officer Megan Pinchot. Megan, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be back.
Few headlines last week. We've got more geopolitical unrest over in the Middle East with Israel and Iran. We had higher inflation, and then higher interest rates, or the cost of purchasing a home, became even more expensive because not only were rates high, but prices are high as well. Typically, with headlines like this, with especially the geopolitical unrest and inflation, it's easy to react. And if you look over a long history of time, selling out or getting rid of your investments because of a headline hasn't worked out that well.
It's really too late, I guess, once you see the headline. So if the market was going to react dramatically to something that happens in the headlines, by the time the individual investor reads that, essentially, the market is already down or had that correction. So that is usually not the time to sell it's not the time to let emotion sort of sway what should be hopefully long term.
It's just the fear mongering. I mean, because there's just a lot of emotions that kind of go into all of the tensions that are happening over there. And look, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know how this is going to play out. But I guess where I struggle with it is the fear mongering of the headlines that causes emotions and people wanting to react. But from an investment standpoint, tell us a little bit about how you're looking at things that go on in the world and making decisions.
Look, and a lot of this stuff is scary stuff, or could be, and I think a lot of what makes it scary is the unknown of it. So how bad could conflict be, right? Or how, with interest rates, how high could rates go? Or will inflation spike back up? And that uncertainty feeds into that fear a lot. And so when you are crafting a portfolio, ideally you are planning in advance for this uncertainty. Look, there's different times in history where uncertainty is higher, where uncertainty is lower. So right now we feel that there's heightened uncertainty sort of out there in the system related to not just geopolitical risk, but all kinds of monetary investment risks. And so because of that, we are more conservatively positioned, say, let's move away from certain risk assets where those unknowns will have a bigger impact. And let's move more toward or tilt more toward things where they're more resilient. They're not going to rely on what happens with interest rates or inflation or even geopolitical conflict to hopefully be more stable.
It's interesting. I mean, when the headlines first came out, when Israel went back and retaliated against Iran, I saw the futures market go down a lot. Then you wake up the next morning and the market pretty much had brushed it off. We obviously don't know why. If we had that crystal ball, we would have, probably be managing all the money in the world. But it's sort of interesting how when you read a headlines, you can make some assumptions on how you think things would react. But this market seems to be more driven because of inflation and what the Fed may do. And it's sort of interesting. If this conflict in the Middle East gets escalated even more, I mean, it can cause a situation where, oil prices could go up and then inflation is higher. And then the Fed, even though there's unrest going on in the Middle East, they could be in a situation where they're not all of a sudden lowering rates, they're even keeping them higher or raising them. Like, who knows what could potentially happen?
There are a lot of factors that go into it. So it's very challenging to read the headline and assume that you know how markets will react. That's a mistake I think a lot of investors make, where they read that headline. It sounds scary, so the assumption is, oh, the market will go down. In recent years, there's been an interesting phenomenon where if there's bad news in markets actually go up, because the assumption is, oh, good news, it's bad news. But in a way, that's good news, because that means the Fed's going to come in and either keep rates low or lower rates more quickly, whatever the rationale is, that the there will be more easy money. And so that actually is a good thing that there's bad news out there, which now I'm confusing myself talking around. But it's something that, again, you can't assume. It's a really good practice to not assume, see that headline and assume you know how markets are going to react and how it'll even affect your portfolio.
Yeah, it has been an interesting time the last 15 or so years where bad news has become good news because we are addicted to easy money policies. And we're in a situation where the Fed, like we've talked about before, has raised rates very fast, hasn't really broken anything. We're not in a recession, even though there was, you know, months of headlines around that. I mean, I guess if I'm making decisions for myself and I'm in a situation where, like a lot of our clients, and I'm saying, listen, I've worked really hard, I've saved this money. For me, from a financial planning standpoint, the way that I'm going to protect myself is a couple of ways. I'm going to go with the bucket approach. I'm going to make sure that there's enough money in a bucket, let's call it an emergency fund, to last a year or two. So like, what is my life cost? I'm going to make sure that I have access to those dollars and have that invested safely, because if something were to happen, it's going to buy me time. Mm-hmm. The middle bucket is going to be the bucket that's going to generate enough income for me to live my life. And then that third bucket, I'm going to take calculated risks to try to grow the money.
Yeah.
And so to me, not that you're building something that can withstand just about any environment, because we don't have a crystal ball. I would sleep at night knowing that I've got plenty of money in an emergency fund, plenty of income coming in, and the money set aside for growth long term. That's how I would handle it from a financial planning standpoint. How do you sort of look for diversified assets, but also create opportunity within the portfolio management or portfolio design?
Yeah, and even you just described diversification, right? It wasn't by investment type, but it was by purpose of money, and you can find investments that fit each of those types. So while, to your point, that whole portfolio, if the market tanks, it's not that it won't lose, but there's pieces of it that won't lose, that'll be stable, that'll keep having income. So that's that approach, I think, can give a lot of comfort to the fact that you can have a piece of stocks in your portfolio that can have big swings, but still live off the portfolio, still have enough money and earnings there. Look, there's pieces of things that you can mix in that'll make a difference in more challenging environments. We have a pretty healthy allocation to gold. And so gold is an asset that we've talked about a lot before. I think you had a recent podcast on it too. Lots of pros, cons, challenges. We have it more as a true long-term hedge against all the money printing that's happened, almost like an alternative currency. Gold tends to do very well in a turbulent geopolitical environment. So it can be almost a hedge against that kind of uncertainty. When the world's going haywire, gold tends to do well. It's not perfect, but it tends to be a good hedge. So that's something that everybody can mix in. Otherwise, today, it's a lot about, instead of sort of betting on future growth, which is really what stocks are, saying, hey, we think there's going to be great growth and we're going to participate in that. There's a lot you can do today. Short-term contracts where you're lending against assets and you're getting paid really nicely just because of where interest rates are to do that. And a lot more control, a lot more protections that can be built in place. Having that be a piece of one of those buckets, right? The income piece, you know, as well as gold, that's theoretically more a growth asset, but should be less tied to what happens with stocks or other growth assets. That kind of a mix is sort of the bucket approach that you described. That's the bucket approach on the investment side.
I do like that a lot. I mean, when we look at our peers and the tools that they have to sort of make investment decisions for our clients, they're more limited than what we are, because we've stepped outside of the box and made a conscious choice to look outside of traditional stocks and bonds and mutual funds. But we have significantly less stock exposure than, you know, for our clients, than some of our other peers or competitors. And to me, that's a starting place too, that clients should recognize when they see these headlines and they feel the emotions and they want to react. They should understand, first and foremost, they probably have less stock exposure than their friends.
And so that preparation in advance is something we really believe in strongly, because again, once the headline comes out, if the market does react very negatively, at that point, it's really too late to pivot, or it's much more challenging to pivot, right? It's much more challenging to make that call when the market's down 15-20 and say, now we're going to go sell into it. That's actually how investors lose a lot of money, at selling at the wrong times, buying at the wrong times. But look, part of this is too that we are positioned more conservatively now, we believe, because of the uncertainty. We're also, I think, making really nice or very good target returns on some of those lending opportunities I described. But because this portfolio should be more resilient and fluctuate less, hopefully that does allow us to be more opportunistic if things did get really bad with the stock market or other more volatile asset classes. I think it's a lot tougher to make those calls, even let's say buy more stocks or rebalance into it if your portfolio is down huge with the market versus if you only had a piece that took a hit. Okay, now maybe we have enough courage to go in and basically buy when everyone is running away in the opposite direction. That is historically, I think, how
a lot of money can be made.
And look, I think that sometimes clients just ask us, hey, what does the investment team talk about when headlines and stuff like this come about? And without a doubt, we're monitoring those headlines and these new reports, and they get baked into some of our longer term decision making. But right now is not the time to put your foot on the gas, whether it is the headline risks or just the challenges that the economy faces. So, you know, we're positioned in a way where we're getting really attractive returns on some safer or more, you know, loan type of investments. But you also mentioned that we have opportunity if something were to arise to where we could take advantage of it.
Yeah, and look, I think that when clients are reading some of these headlines, because again, there's a lot of scary, uncertain stuff out there. If the gut reaction is, oh no, I can't handle this, I have to sell. So first, obviously, go back and re-educate on where they are in their portfolio, right? Versus maybe their friends or a traditional portfolio. But if that continues to happen and there's that strong emotional response, it's important that they are positioned so that they can handle potential large moves, right? As you know. So going back and revisiting the bucket approach, revisiting how much risk is in that portfolio and can they handle it if there truly is a bad situation is very important for keeping people from making bad decisions at the wrong time.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Megan. I mean, obviously, be aware of what you're feeling and let's have a conversation about it. But, you know, even just rewinding back about 4 years ago, COVID was another really good example where the market reacted very quickly to a global shutdown and then started to make its way back up. And we were somewhat in denial. Nobody really knew how it was going to pan out. But if you sold because you were nervous and you left yourself on the sideline, you probably never got back in and you're probably regretting it.
That's one of the challenges too of market timing is it's not one good timing decision. It's actually a few different times in particular, right? When to get out and then getting back in, I think is really tough. Because it's always going to go lower, or even if it pulls up, it's going to come back down. And it's really, I don't think there's anyone out there who can consistently make timely decisions well. So
no, I don't think so either. Megan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
A lot of fun. Thank you for joining us. And we hope this episode has provided you with a roadmap to feel more confident as an investor. To receive notifications about weekly episodes, email us at financialcommute@mortonwealth.com.